Hello and welcome to Encounter, the show that brings you the life-changing encounters of ordinary people that launch them into lives of extraordinary mission. My name is Patrick Rice. I'm here with my good friend and brother in Christ, Dan Demite.
Good morning.
How you doing, brother?
Awesome, awesome.
Today we have on the show with us Father Matthias Thalen. Father Matthias is currently a spiritual director at Detroit Sacred Heart Major Seminary, an amazing seminary, fueling the new evangelization. He has an amazing healing ministry where signs, wonders, and miracles are common. Dan, he has seen blind eyes open, cancers disappear, the lame and infirm made to walk again, among many other miracles. This is just amazing. So
incredible.
I'm like particularly excited about this. In his ministry, we're seeing a fulfillment of Jesus' promise that if you believe in me, you will do the works that I do and greater works because I'm going to the Father. Dan, before we go any further, will you just start us off in prayer?
Yeah, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, great fire of God. We pray for a revival. We pray for a new Pentecost, Lord, that you would send your Spirit on the church made anew. We pray that you would give us a fresh outpouring of the Spirit that would come and bring a new springtime of evangelization. Come, Holy Spirit. We pray for the gifts of the Holy Spirit to be made new in the church today. We pray, Lord, for the signs and the wonders that we see in the Gospels to be brought to us as a people. We pray for gifts of healing to be made new, Lord. We pray for the gifts of prophecy and tongues to be made new, Lord. We pray for the gift of evangelization of peoples and cultures to be made anew. Come, Holy Spirit, of the Spirit. We invite them now into our world, into our church. Come, Holy Spirit.
Come, Holy Spirit. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that we would have the response of the first Christians that after persecution, that they said this. They said, "Now, Lord, take note of their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with all boldness. As you stretch forth your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are done through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And as they prayed, the place where they gathered shook, and they're all filled with the Holy Spirit and continue to speak the word with all boldness. Father, I pray that we would have that same prayer, that as we experience persecution as peoples, as faithful members of the church, Lord, that we would pray that you would stretch forth your hand to heal, Lord, and signs and wonders would be done again in our generation. And Jesus, you said, not just to make disciples of individuals, but to make disciples of nations. So, Father, I pray that through the ministry of Father Matthias, through all those who are desiring more and are hungry for more of your life, Lord, that you would make disciples of the nation of America, Lord. So we just pray, come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and enkindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and we shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. And we pray this in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, amen. Do you feel that?
I feel it. Hey, when we were praying, Patrick, I just had a vision of a heart being ripped open and the gifts of the Spirit being poured out into that heart. And so I just want to encourage our listeners, if your heart has been closed to the gifts of the Holy Spirit in your life, that you would just say a quick prayer in your mind and just ask that the Spirit would open up your heart and fill his gifts.
Yeah, and if you felt something too, just say, like, I receive that in the name of Jesus. And what you receive is a seed for a gift that God wants to do, because we were just praying for those gifts. Can God do that over the radio?
I think the Lord can do that over the radio.
Oh, yeah, I know. I've experienced things like that too. All right, we're going to keep going. All right, we have on the show today Father Matthias Thalen. Literally, he's only 33 years old, right? That's a pretty biblical.
Wow, that's the age of Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's routinely seeing the power of God manifesting in a way that would make most people either very excited or very uncomfortable, all right? That's kind of like what Jesus did. People got excited or very uncomfortable, right? In the church since Vatican II, each of the popes who have held Peter's office have publicly prayed for a new Pentecost. We hear a lot about, you know, JP2 and a new evangelization. Mm-hmm. But even JP2 and you know, Pope Paul VI, Pope John the 23rd, Pope Benedict, Pope Francis, they've all been praying for a new Pentecost to touch the church, to like fuel the new evangelization. When Pope Benedict came to America in 2008, he said this, okay? I quote, "Let us implore from God the grace of a new Pentecost for the church in America. May tongues of fire combining burning love of God and neighbor with zeal for the spread of Christ's kingdom descend on all present."
Amen.
End quote.
Power.
That is power. Like he prayed, may the grace of a new Pentecost. The Pentecost is a grace. It's a grace that we can tap into. The confirmation, the catechism says confirmation is the grace of Pentecost. It's not a one-time experience. It unleashes that grace of Pentecost within us. That's our birthday. We get gifts on our birthday. Some people just got gifts right over the air here.
Boom.
So, I mean, Dan, can you share with our listeners about this relationship between the new evangelization and the new Pentecost? And maybe something from your life, too.
Yeah, I think we need to, the new evangelization has become very trendy in the church, which is a great thing. It's a blessing that so many people are talking about the new evangelization. So many people have a knowledge of the call for the new evangelization. But we can't allow that trendiness to become ordinary, right? Mm-hmm. The new evangelization can only come through a new Pentecost. So what is the new evangelization? Real quick, if you haven't heard of the new evangelization, the popes have been heralding this for a number of years, calling for a re-evangelization of culture, right? That we need to re-evangelize a culture that once was Christian is no longer Christian. And so we need a re-evangelized culture. It's even a re-evangelization of Catholics, right? Mm-hmm. That our Catholics are falling away from the church. The church is hemorrhaging, literally, that 83% of young people who are confirmed in the church will no longer be practicing their faith within 10 years after their confirmation. 83%. So that mm-hmm. means our church needs a re-evangelization. In America, on any given Sunday, only about 29% of Catholics are going to Mass. Only 17% of Catholics are going to Mass every Sunday in America. In England, only 9% of Catholics are going to Mass. And in France, only 4% of Catholics are going to Mass every Sunday. And so we need a re-evangelization of the Catholic Church. And so that's the new evangelization, where we're presenting the gospel, we're presenting the truths of Catholicism in a new and vibrant way. We're not changing the gospel, we're not changing church teaching, but we're presenting it in a new and a vibrant way, with new ardor, with new enthusiasm, with new passion, in such a way that it leads people to a profound encounter with Jesus Christ. And so as a result of this call for the new evangelization, we've created a lot of new different methods of evangelization. And there's a lot of amazing programs out there, a lot of video series, a lot of book studies or Bible studies. But we need to be careful not only to catch only half of the puzzle, because the first evangelization of the world happened after Pentecost. Mm-hmm. It was a fruit and a result of Pentecost. And so while we need a new evangelization, we also need a new Pentecost. And this new evangelization will only come about if we have a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the church, and we receive the gifts of the Spirit like the early church received mm-hmm. the gifts of the Spirit.
And Dan, from that prayer that I had, like they received the Holy Spirit, that they were filled with the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, but then in Acts chapter 4, they received it again. So it's almost like, is there an end to the outpouring that we can have in our life?
There's absolutely no end to the outpouring.
No.
The Spirit of God
more,
is
Lord.
Unquenchable, right?
More,
yeah, more.
Don't
give
quench
us
it.
So this is what Pope Benedict says. He says, now we, I mean, I'm sorry, let me back up. He says that in the same way the apostles did not say after a few meetings, now we want to go make a church, and that by means of a constituent assembly, we are going to draft a constitution, right? So he's talking about how the apostles didn't gather and come up with the plan for the church. Instead, the apostles gathered in the upper room and they prayed.
Mm-hmm.
And they prayed for what Jesus promised. And Jesus promised, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and then you will be my witnesses. So we're trying, a lot of times we try to be witnesses of the new evangelization without praying in the upper room for the power of the Holy Spirit. So we need a new Pentecost, where instead of gathering and meeting after meeting, planning group after planning group, committee after committee, instead we form more prayer committees, right?
Mm-hmm.
That we're just praying as a people for the promise of Jesus to be poured out on us, that we would say, Lord, you have said that we will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and we want more power. We need to move away from willpower Christianity and move into God power Christianity, right? Where a lot of times, for so much of my life, I was looking at Christianity as a willpower Christianity, where I had to wake up and get my prayer in, and I had to overcome these sins. And the Lord wants to say, hey, listen, Dan, quit fighting with your power. I have my power for mm-hmm. you.
Amen. You're listening to Encounter, a production of St. Gabriel Radio. I'm here with Dan Demite, and in a little bit we have Father Matthias Thelen, who will be joining us. But right now we're talking about this relationship between the new evangelization the church is called for being fueled by a new Pentecost that the church has also called for. And we need one before the other. Dan, in my mind, like this new Pentecost, like what Pentecost does, this power, it's not abstract. Like it actually has a very defined purpose, okay? And I believe that purpose is actually, Jesus defined it in John 14, verse 12. He said, amen, if you believe in me, and I think that applies to every believer, right? If you believe in me, you will do the works that I do and greater ones than these because I'm going to the Father. What are the works that Jesus did? He was actually just talking about he just raised Lazarus from the dead. He opened a blind man's eyes who was blind from birth, right? He multiplied these loaves. Like Jesus is talking about not just the natural love your neighbor stuff and eat with sinners, but he's talking about the supernatural works. He's all of the works. You'll do all of them and greater ones than these. Thomas Aquinas talked about this as well as being actual miraculous works that we can do, okay? How can we do the works of Jesus? The answer is be empowered by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit actually enables us to do his works and the greater ones, okay? And then Jesus said, I love this, in Mark 16, it's like a Mark's version of the commissioning, okay? He goes back to the believers. So we're not just talking about popes and cardinals and bishops and priests. We're talking about all believers here. And he said this in Mark 16, verse 17, these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak new languages. And he goes on to say, they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. All right. Like the last sign that Jesus gives us is this sign of healing that like, somehow we have this grace as believers to pray for healing for the sick, okay? And in Matthew chapter 10, you know, this first mission that he sends them off onto, he sends them in Matthew 10 and Luke 9, he sends his disciples out to preach the gospel. And he says, preach the gospel, heal the sick, and cast out demons. So like, there's something about the proclamation of the gospel with healing the sick and casting out demons. Sometimes they go together. Like, you know, remember that one time that the guy's like, my son has epilepsy and will you cure him? And then Jesus casts out a demon, right? He heals him through this deliverance, okay? But in Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, he says this. He summoned the 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to drive them out and authority to cure every disease and infirmity. So Jesus gave us authority over this, okay? That like, I think once we come to realize that we're called to do greater works, that we're called to take this authority on, that we can pray for the sick. Not only do we have the sacrament of the anointing of the sick, but we have the authority over this. And I see like this in Father Matthias's ministry. Not only is he forming these seminarians to be raised up to be you know, vanguards and like prophets of the new evangelization, okay? But he's doing the works of Jesus, and he's even seeing greater things happen, okay? And this is even still a very new thing. So our listeners who will be hearing this will be hearing something that maybe 10 years down the road will be looking even more intense. I just pray for that right now. And like healing is a sign of God's love, and it has power for evangelization, right? That like, you know, so many times in the book of Acts, the apostles went off, they preached the word, but then like there's all these mentioning of like healing that like after Peter and Paul healed these people, they came to believe in the gospel. Like if we want to see the new evangelization unleashed, we need that new Pentecost, which leads to an outpouring of healing. And we've been seeing that in our own ministries. We've been seeing this healings coming forth because we've been going for it.
There's so much fear, I think, from believers that and doubt that we, and I struggle with this with my own life, right? It's this constant doubt that what God has accomplished in the New Testament, that he, for some reason we think he doesn't want to accomplish that in the present. Why would Jesus allow signs and wonders to lead people to his Father's love 2,000 years ago, but then not desire signs and wonders to lead people to the Father's love now? Brothers and sisters, this call for the new evangelization And this call for the new Pentecost has come from our popes, right? That this wasn't something that we thought of in some classroom. It wasn't something we thought of in some meetings. It was a Spirit proclamation. And Pope John the 23rd was the first pope to call for the new Pentecost. And then Pope Paul the 6th, and then John Paul the 2nd, and Pope Benedict, and now Pope Francis, they're calling for this new Pentecost. And Jesus has a promise here, right? Mm-hmm. That what he accomplished in the Gospels, he desires to accomplish in our lives.
Mm-hmm. Amen. It's amazing. So like, Lord, I just pray that as this show unfolds and Father comes and shares what he's doing, I pray that every listener would start to like have that faith that like that I believe in Jesus, that he because I believe in him, there's a promise that I'll do the works that he does and the greater works. And then there's that connection like, okay, I want to do it. And then the Lord's like, okay, you need power. You need the Holy Spirit. You need a new Pentecost in your life. And it's just amazing here. So
can we pray for that right now? Can we pray for faith and push away all doubt right now, Patrick?
Yeah, let's do it. Like, go for it, Dan.
Jesus, we just come to you right now, and we understand that as modern man, we are filled with so many doubts, that we are filled with our own fears and our own insecurities, that we can end up relying on our own strength as opposed to yours. And so, Lord, we cast out any doubt inside of us. We cast out any question that you want to work in our lives in a more powerful way. And we ask for the gift of faith, that you would pour out the gift of faith into our minds and our hearts, that you would give us a fresh outpouring of faith, that we would have faith in you and in the works of your Father in ways that we never have before.
Father, I just pray right now for that you would raise up this boldness for the Holy Spirit, that you would not just raise it up in the laity, but Lord, raise it up in priests, people like Father Matthias. Father, I see that in him, there is like this sign of what's to come, Lord, that what you're doing in his ministry, in his priesthood, Lord, is something that's not just for him, but it's for every priest that's being formed in this time of the new evangelization, in this time of the new Pentecost, Lord. So we just pray for expectant faith that because we ask, because we knock, because we want it, Lord, that you're going to give it to us, because you're a good, good Father, Lord. This is just who you are. And Lord, we just pray this prayer in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Patrick,
Amen.
Do you believe that healing can happen now?
Oh, I not only do I believe it, I've seen it. All right. It's just literally, and Father Matthias actually played a big role in this. We met at a conference like four or 5 years ago, and we've stayed in contact ever since. And the stuff that we saw together in ministry kind of has it's been happening in both of our lives. And like his friendship with me, with our community here, has just been like encouraging. And I'll hear things that he's doing, and I'll say, Lord, I want to do that too. And like his boldness has led me to even greater boldness. That I remember like I taught, he shared a story with me about, you know, this guy praying for like a terminal cancer patient to just go away. I hope he shares that story. And then I was on a mission trip, and I had the chance to pray for a guy who was lame and not able to walk. And from his story, like I had faith that I could pray and be that channel too. And this guy gets up out of his wheelchair at an adoration service. It was amazing. Maybe we'll hear more
Amen.
About that
yeah.
well, another time.
And the Lord wants to work through you, no matter who you are. The Lord chooses the weak, and he improves his strength through them. And so, if you're struggling in your own confidence, I just get a sense that there's probably some listeners here who struggle in confidence with themselves and that the Lord wouldn't want to use you. And I say to you, the Lord desires to use you as his vessel, not for your glory, but for his. And so to open your life up, to allow yourself to be a source of healing for this world.
Amen. And we pray that simply, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, Lord, that you purchased everything on the cross. Every forgiveness from sin, every healing has been purchased by you on the cross. By your stripes, we can be healed, Lord. So I pray that today, heaven's reality will become earth's reality for Amen. Every listener, Lord, that it will be a foretaste of what you have for us forever. Amen. You're listening to Encounter, a production of St. Gabriel Radio, and we're going to take a break now, but on the flip side, we'll be joined by Father Matthias Thalen to hear his amazing testimony. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Encounter, the show that brings you the life-changing encounters of ordinary people that launch them into lives of extraordinary mission. Today, we're joined by with Father Matthias Thelen, an ordained priest in the Diocese of Lansing. Father, welcome.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
Oh, yeah. I met Father at a conference several years ago. We've been kept in touch ever since. In my mind, Dan, Father Matthias is a forerunner in demonstrating the power of God's love that's starting to be released in the church. And I believe we're going to see a lot more of this. But I just want to, Father, I just want you to testify to what God is doing, has done, and is moving you into, okay? So we just want to give you the rest of the show to hear this amazing adventure. So, I mean, Father, can you just tell us, how did you first fall in love with Jesus?
Well, one of the first things that happened to me when I was in high school was I encountered a youth minister who had left the seminary. He started a youth group, and he began to preach the gospel to me in a way that I understood. Because for the longest time, for whatever reason, I wasn't connecting to my priest. I wasn't connecting to, we had a priest that I didn't understand all that well, and he was older, and the gospel was completely irrelevant to me. Even though I grew up in a Catholic family, I went to church every Sunday, even though I did the right things, I said the right things, my heart was very, very far away from the Lord. And so as I'm in high school, I was playing football and baseball, I was dating and all this other stuff happening. This guy comes out of the seminary, starts this youth group, and teaches and preaches about Jesus in a way that I've never heard before.
Wow.
He had this internal conviction that shook me, and he had something in him that I wanted. Mm. There was a confidence about who he was. There's a confidence about where he was going. He knew God, and God had changed him, and I was drawn to that. And so as I kept listening to him, my heart began to burn. If this is true, if Jesus really is alive, if the gospel is what's really going to fulfill me, then I have to surrender my heart. And so we had a couple opportunities to go to Eucharistic Adoration, which I barely remember growing up on First Fridays. And I remember being very moved the first time I went to Eucharistic Adoration, because there was a man who had graduated from Franciscan University in Steubenville, and he came up to the youth group, and he was playing music. And I really kind of was touched by the praise music he was playing. But I remember just really, really encountering the love of God and just weeping while we're in adoration. And that kind of really led to the next summer going to a Franciscan University youth conference in the summer. And it was that time of adoration. Everyone knows the big Saturday night adoration.
Mm-hmm.
But I was challenged to lay down my life, a challenge to invite the Holy Spirit to come and make Jesus alive to me, challenged to just repent of all my sins. And as I did that, the priest came by with the Blessed Sacrament, and he blesses me. And at that moment, I knew instantly that God was real and that he loved me. It was this like infused knowledge.
Mm.
And it hit me so powerfully that I began weeping uncontrollably, something that high school men don't like to do in front of women, right? High school guys, they don't like to do it. I was just weeping uncontrollably. And I also knew that the sins that I had committed were completely forgiven. And at that moment, there was almost as if the Lord Jesus touched me himself, kind of made me come alive. And ever since that moment, I've had this insatiable desire and thirst to proclaim the truth about who Jesus is, about the plan of salvation, that he is alive, and he invites us to a living relationship with the Father so that we might be completely fulfilled. And so, obviously, my conversion, it's a long story how I kind of had to be pruned away from impurity in my relationships, pruned away from my selfishness, and all sorts of different things in my life. But from that moment, I can tell you that I was a very different person.
Wow.
I didn't even realize what peace and love was until I encountered the living God. And
wow.
So I just came alive. And I remember at one point I was studying engineering and math in college that I just remember thinking, I want to do this full time. I want to give my whole life to helping other people come to know God, because everywhere I looked, I saw depression, I saw sadness, I saw difficulties, I saw hopelessness everywhere. People who did not know that Jesus was alive and that they were infinitely loved, and that no matter what they did, God still accepted them and loved them so long as they were willing to turn away from the cancer, which is sin. You know, I saw that everywhere, and I said, Lord, use me. use me. I want you to come alive in people's hearts. Just use me. And from that moment that I surrendered on that college campus, asked the Lord what he wanted me to do in his life, in my life, and he said, the priesthood, it's almost as if, you know, I never turned back. And it involved, of course, breaking up with the girl of my dreams and all sorts of stuff. But the sum of it all is that Jesus came and touched my heart. He touched me, and now I long for him, I pan for him, and the more I see him work in other people's hearts, the more that I come alive as a minister. And so that's like the perfect combination. What feeds me, what causes me to burn, is when I see Jesus feeding and causing other people to burn. And the more I see that, the more I burn. And it's just all him. It's totally something I did not anticipate in my life, but it's been an extraordinary journey.
Dan, are you burning right now?
Yeah, man, I feel like Father's like a pulsating heart that's just like beating blood into the airwaves right now.
I see fire and more fire on your heart. Keep going. Father, can you tell us about how this ministry, the healing ministry, began?
Yeah, so one of the things that happened, I had a priest tell me when I was in seminary, he says, Father, or he didn't say Father, sorry, I wasn't a father in the seminary. He said, Matthias, you have the gift of prophecy. And I'm like, well, what the heck does that mean, you know? And then he started saying, he's like, you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. And he started telling me all these things that he saw the Holy Spirit doing in my life. And then he begins to share with me what the Holy Spirit has been doing in the church since 1967, began to share with me the power of God that is available today. And from that moment, my faith very much just went through the roof. And I realized that what God had done in the Scriptures, he's doing now. Amen. And if he's done it, if he's doing it now, then he can do it with someone who says yes in faith. And so that kind of led me on a journey of discovering the power of the Holy Spirit in new and in amazing ways. And so when I went to seminary, I was actually here at Sacred Heart Major Seminary, me and my friends who just had a heart for evangelization, we decided to go downtown Detroit and do street evangelization. That is just coming upon people, sharing the gospel, and just praying with people and just see what happens. We knew that this happened in the Scriptures. We knew that Jesus commanded his disciples to go forth to proclaim the kingdom and that he would confirm the signs and wonder. He would confirm the message through signs and wonders. He told them to heal the sick and to drive out demons. And so we were just innocently praying on the street, and we had some phenomenal encounters that really changed the way I look at divine appointments, changed the way I look at how God orchestrates us through the power of his Spirit, that the providential love of the Father is constantly drawing us to himself. And so I remember we were praying, we went down. Yeah, I'll tell you two stories. One is this guy comes up to us and asks us for money. And it was just me and my friend, and we said, we don't have any money, but what we do want to bring you is that is the truth that Jesus loves you, and he wants you to spend time or to have a relationship with him. And he just breaks down bawling. He said, and after he stops crying, he says, just this morning, I live in an alley 2 blocks from here, and this morning I said, God, I'm sick of doing drugs. I'm sick of being addicted to this. I'm sick of living on the street. If you're real, send two people to tell me how much you love me today.
Come on, Lord.
And at that moment, we led him through a confession of his faith. He gave his life to Jesus, and we're literally jumping up and down in the street with him, singing mm-hmm. songs because the power of God comes upon him. It was amazing. We meet this other woman, and this woman is blind. Okay, she had just gotten out of jail for some whatever reason, but she's blind. We took her because she was hungry. We took her to eat, and she was having the menu all the way up to her eyes because she couldn't read. She was so blind, and she had lost her benefits for whatever reason because there was some sort of challenge with that. But anyway, I remember we walking into a church, and we had her kneel down. We're just like, can we just pray for you? That's fine. And I was just praying for her, Lord, bless her. And I just had this prompting, ask the Lord to heal her. And so I just remember praying, and I was like, Lord, I just ask that you pour out the power of your Holy Spirit. I had my hand on her head, and I did a little sign of the cross on her back. Lord Jesus, heal her eyes right now. It was just a little sign of the cross in the back of her head. And right when I said that, she took her hands and grabbed the back of her head in my hand. She's like, what did you just do? And I said, I was just praying for you. And she's like, and she was all confused. She got all like confused, and her, it was like she was touching her eyes, and she was like moving around. She's like, what did you just do? And I was just praying that God would heal your sight. And she's walking around totally oblivious to what's going on. We get her in a car because we were going to take her to a place to stay for the night. And she just starts exclaiming, screaming. So my goodness, I can see, I can see. And she's like, she's reading things that are far away. She's just rejoicing.
Wow, yes.
You could not get her to be quiet. She would not be quiet. She was just screaming. My friend was like, what the heck? I was like, yeah, we prayed for healing. She's healed.
Wow.
And so she's going crazy, and like we're going crazy. I'm just as surprised as she is that God actually did it right there. And I just remember being so filled with hope. This stuff is real. Mm. And what an extraordinary sign of God's love for her, that as she's on the street, as she's hungry, as she can't see, God would come to her and bring healing to her. That he would care enough about her to stoop down and to say, be healed. And that enabled her to realize that God had not abandoned her, that God was alive, that he had a plan for her life, that she could count on him when she went to her low, low place. And it was incredible. And from that moment, I realized that the power of the Holy Spirit is something that that requires us to yield to. Mm-hmm. We have to yield to that power. We have to say yes to that power and to really walk out in faith. Lord, I believe that you're present and that your presence is going to transform the very people I meet on the street. And so that's how it started. It's been kind of crazy.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Well, you're listening to Encounter, a production of St. Gabriel Radio. My name is Patrick Rice. I'm joined here with Father Matthias Thelen, who is sharing with us the story of his healing ministry. So, Father, what happened? You know, you're on the street. How did things escalate from there?
What do you mean escalate?
Like, I know you're doing big healing services now.
Sure.
How did it get bigger?
One of the things that the healing thing, I never really considered that I had the gift of healing. It was one of those things that God used me in a powerful way that was awesome, and I didn't really tell very many people about it. To be honest, I struggled with even believing that it happened. You know, and I was thinking, well, why would she make up that response? Why would she go crazy if it didn't happen? How was she able to read things? You know, the devil really went crazy saying, this isn't real. This only happens to people that are saints. You know, all sorts of thoughts went to my mind. But the more I studied the scriptures, and the more I participated we have a charismatic prayer group at the seminary. The more I kind of opened up to the reality of what God has been doing in the church, what the scriptures are saying about the connection between healing and evangelization, and the connection between like the power of the gifts of the Spirit and what that does. The more I began to realize that this is something that God wants me to do more often. Just pray with people. So it just began with me stepping out in faith, praying with people. Hey, can I pray with you for this? Can I pray with you for this? And I realized that God was really speaking through me and doing amazing things through me that I didn't think was all that possible. And so it took me a while to actually go from this happened once to God wants more of this.
Mm.
And that was a difficult transition to make. To be honest, I didn't make that transition until shortly before I became a priest. When I started praying with people, I realized that God kept releasing the power of his love upon people in extraordinary ways. In the first year of their priesthood, it happened where we had a parish mission for a parish, and this Franciscan came in and started preaching about God's love and forgiveness, and he said, at the end, we're going to pray that God, you know, heals people's hearts. You know, so we had people come up in lines, you know, people came up in these lines, and, you know, he's praying over them, and he does healing services and stuff, and then people, I started praying over people, and all of a sudden, people started falling to the ground.
And
I remember, like, hearing about that, you know, thinking that, you know, I've seen this happen before, but I hadn't really experienced it, save this one time I witnessed it in Rome, when I was in Medjugorje. But I remember people just really, really experiencing God's love, and then I started praying for people for healing, and they started being healed. And I realized, okay, maybe God is giving me a special gift, or maybe he's giving me a special calling. And from there, the more I see God do, the more I step out in faith. The more I step out in faith, the more I see God do. And that led me to just calling out in the Holy Spirit and doing a healing service my second year of the priesthood. And I started doing one, and it's as if Pentecost happened. It was one of the most incredible things. We had people healed. We had just amazing things that are happening. I realized because this is so powerful in people's lives, because they're coming to know Jesus, because people have relationships and brokenness being touched by the Savior and the Redeemer of mankind, I have to continue this. And again, this is not something I anticipated at all.
Wow.
And it kind of put me on this trajectory of learning about deliverance in a more intentional way, which is actually where I met you.
Yep.
At that conference.
Deliverance conference. 2011 or something. Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Oh, my gosh. So, Father, can you share with our listeners some stories of the healings you've seen through your prayer?
Yeah. You know, it's really there's so much to even talk about. But there's just a couple that come to my mind in terms of just how simple the whole thing is, in terms of like how this isn't really about me, this is about Jesus wanting to touch people. I remember a woman coming to my office, and we were having this appointment, and at the end, actually it was with her fiance. We were doing wedding preparation. At the end, she shared with me how difficult it would be for, I was asking her, do you want children? They kind of both look really, really sad, and I looked, their face looked sad, and they looked at me, he's like, well, I have ovarian cancer. No, cervical cancer. And it wasn't ovarian, cervical cancer. And we can't have children, you know, and we've had to have some other things. The cancer is there. We have to treat it. We won't be able to have children. It's really, really sad. And so we just really kind of bummed. And I just remember just feeling prompted, like, you know, can we pray for that? You know, we've seen people healed, and I just want to pray. And so that's the Lord what to do, you know. And so we just prayed, like, come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. And just prayed a little bit, and I felt the power of God to come upon her, and I just commanded the cancer to leave. In the name of Jesus. And then at the end, I literally was like a 30-second prayer, and I said, so what did you feel? What did you experience? She's like, that was amazing. I just felt like this warmth, and I felt like this tingling, and well, I hope that I'm healed, you know? I get a voicemail like a week later. She was going to the University of Michigan Hospital to get checked out, and she's just ecstatic, like screaming, oh, my goodness, my cancer is completely gone. She said the doctor did a scan, couldn't find any cancer anywhere, and
wow.
No signs of cancer.
Praise the Lord.
And what's so cool is that she was so excited, they got married, and she had her first baby, the baby that probably wouldn't exist if that cancer was there.
Oh, my gosh.
Just, like, incredible. And, again, it's like a 30-second thing. What is that all about? Like, where is that, you know, in terms of, like, the being talked about? Like, I don't know what this is all about, you know? Anyway, a second one, just a thing that just happened recently. I was in a restaurant with one of my priest friends, and this woman came up to my priest friend and said, can you pray for my back? She was in a walker, and she knew him because he was her pastor, or he was her priest. And she's like, can you pray for my back and bless my back? It's really, really sick. I wasn't wearing my clerics because I was on my day off. My friend was. So he gives her a little blessing, and he kind of sends her back, or was about to send her back to the table, you know. And she had, I kind of look at her, and the Lord's like, pray with her. You know, I want to heal her back. Mm. And so I just said, you know, if you don't mind, I'm also a priest, and I want to just, I like to pray with people. I have a sense that God wants to heal your back. And I remember just praying over her. I said, come, Holy Spirit. And I just commanded her back to go in the right place. She had just had surgery or something like that. And I just remember, I just commanded it, and just the spirit fell. And she's like, oh, my goodness, all this tingling and heat. And she was just, like, rejoicing. I said, try to move now in a way that you couldn't before. And she had no pain whatsoever.
Wow.
She's like, oh, my goodness. And then she takes my bill and pays for my dinner. It was hilarious. She's, like, going telling other people at the table. I start praying over these other people. It's almost a revival happened in the restaurant.
This
atheist, like, unbeliever who's practicing Reiki, right away, she started feeling relief for her symptoms. She's
wow.
like, how are you doing this? How are you doing this? Are you channeling this energy? I said, this is the power of God.
Amen.
This
Father,
is the power
Father,
of
Father,
the Word made flesh.
Hang on there right so, there. We have to take a break. But when Father comes back on air with us, we're going to hear more stories from Father. And also, Father, I want you to teach our listeners about healing, how to pray for healing, okay?
Yeah.
So you're listening to Encounter, a production of St. Gabriel Radio, and we'll be joined with Father Matthias on the flip side. Welcome back to Encounter, the show that brings you the life-changing encounters of ordinary people that launch them into lives of extraordinary mission. We're still on air with Father Matthias Thelen, who's sharing stories about the healings that have happened in his ministry. Father, can you share with us another story? I'm loving this.
Yeah, I think one story that particularly touched me was when I was in my last parish as a pastor. We did some healing services there, and there was a man who had come, who was a doctor, who had been away from the church for many, many years. I think it was actually like maybe 15 years. I don't actually know the specifics. I have to look it up because he wrote a testimony up. Anyway, he was away from the church for a long, long time, but he had cancer, and someone from the parish invited him to come to this healing service. And when we do the healing service, what we do is we often just we preach the gospel, and then we talk about blocks to healing, like unforgiveness, lack of repentance, you know, holding on to control, unbelief, different things. And we just invite the Spirit to kind of just take all of it. And we have this big surrender to the Holy Spirit. And when that happened, the Lord revealed to him that he had all these people that he needed to forgive, all these just like this heaviness upon him. And as he gave his heart to the Lord, as he was able to give his heart to the Lord, he had this extraordinary hope that he actually was going to be healed, like something, this assurance. And so he comes up to get prayed over, and he immediately falls to the ground and begins to shake and begins to just be overwhelmed. And the Lord says, "You are healed." Like I remember him saying, like the Lord just told him, "You are healed," and he couldn't even get up. It was so powerful. But what's amazing about this story is that his life has never been the same. And he said, what's greater than the physical healing of cancer was the healing of my heart. Mm-hmm. Jesus has come alive to me. I thought he was someone who lived a long time ago, but Jesus is alive. I cannot stop thinking about him. The scriptures are alive. I'm talking to everybody about him. He's a doctor, and at his practice, he's telling all of his patients about Jesus and how much he loves him. And it's amazing. And so his family is coming to know about this. He's kind of proclaiming it everywhere. And so I kind of taken advantage of him in a good sense and had him testify at other healing services about what God can do. But I remember him saying very, very clearly, and he tears up every time, that it's as if he was dead before this happened, and that the Lord Jesus came, not only forgave all of his sins and not only healed him of his cancer, but gave him a new heart. And he just says he has a new life.
Amen.
He says, "I will spend the rest of my life doing everything I can to bring people to Jesus." Now, that's power evangelization.
Power.
We did not anticipate that. I mean, that's what God does. God, when Jesus touches you, you're never the same. We can never really be touched by Jesus and not be untouched or Yeah, that's what John Paul II said that in 1988. He says, the Spirit never ceases to astonish us when we are touched by his love. And so, anyway, that's just a really cool story.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. And I love the fact that he was a doctor, and, you know, he's probably on the skeptical side, and usually the doctors are like, "Oh, this is crazy." But it's the doctor that gets the healing. The doctor gets the miracle, and the doctor's going off, and people are going to believe the doctor. Man, what an amazing fruit that's going to continue to flow from that. Father, I know that one thing I love about your message is that you're not just telling everybody, "Oh, I've got the gift of healing, come to me." You're trying to activate people to pray for healing. Can you share with our listeners, because, you know, we have a lot of lay listeners out there as well. Can you share with our listeners, like, you know, maybe how you could do this? How could you pray for healing?
Yeah, I just want to share an encouragement. When people know that God wants to do this, and when they actually have faith that he's present with people, when people understand their identity, God is doing this a lot with people who would never think God would do this. So the reality is, in many ways, it's in a matter of faith about who I am. If I truly believe that Jesus has given me his Spirit for the conversion of the world, that he gives us that boldness, he gives us that power, and he works his signs to confirm what we're saying, then we can really be open to him doing that. And so the first thing I would say is just believed in your identity as a beloved son or a beloved daughter, and know that God will never abandon you and that he's with you. He wants to see people come to faith in him more than you do. And so it's a very, very powerful thing. But in terms of practice, in terms of practical like steps, the first is just get out there and do it. You know, there's a statement I read which really, really moved me. It says, God gives us the ability. We need to give him the availability. God gives us the ability.
I really like that.
We need to give him the availability. God says, go, and he'll show. Just these cool little things that kind of remind us of the fact that much of this depends on acts of faith that we make. We may not feel anything before we pray with someone. We may not feel like God tells us and gives us a word of knowledge. We may just feel absolutely nothing, but God shows up. So the first thing is just pray with people. If you know someone in your family, if you know someone among your friends who's experiencing some pain, what's the worst that can happen? That they don't get healed. But they're going to feel loved that you care enough about them to ask God to heal them. You know, it's not our job to heal. It's God's job to heal. But it is our job to pray. He needs willing instruments, those who say yes to the invitation to live a supernatural Christianity. He is not expecting us to do anything because he knows we don't have the power. But the good news is, his power is made perfect in our weakness. Mm-hmm. So we need to be willing to step out and just simply pray. And as we pray, do a couple things. Lord, let your spirit come. Lord, let your spirit come. And and watch what the Lord does on their body. Sometimes people feel like warmth or tingling or heat, or sometimes they don't feel anything. But just pray, listening to the Lord. And as you listen to the Lord, try to respond with what he's revealing to you. And I think a typical thing, if you're not receiving anything, if the Lord isn't saying anything specific, just simply start speaking to that body part or that place where they're hurt and start speaking with authority. Because in Jesus, we have that authority to speak healing. And when we speak with that authority, the amazing things happen. And so you speak with that authority, and then you ask them to check it out. Check whether or not their pain is gone. Check whether or not they have an ability to do something that they didn't before. Check where the lump or the scars or wherever they were, and to see what happens. And then if nothing happens, go back and pray again. Sometimes you have to pray several times before someone experiences healing. And sometimes as you pray, you might encourage them just to surrender their heart to the Lord. So they're in a place of receptivity. Regardless, it's important to keep in mind that you really, really can't mess this up. you really can't mess it up unless, of course, you're telling them things that you don't believe are true, or that you don't believe that are in the gospel. You want to be humble, but the reality is going out there, sticking your neck out, and praying with people with faith is really what, in a sense, draws the heart of God out. And I would say the final thing is always, always, always just share with them how much God loves them, how much Jesus loves them, and how compassionate and gentle he is, and how he has come to give them new life. Because if that's the focus of our message, then Jesus is going to want to confirm that through the presence of his love, which transforms and heals.
Wow. That's amazing. So I hope everyone got that down. This show will be available on St. Gabriel Radio if you need to re-listen to that one again. Father, I believe that God knows who's hearing right now this show. So, Father, would you kind of like lead us in prayer? Even if there's anyone God wants to heal, do you think God can heal over the radio?
Absolutely.
All right.
Amen.
So
let's
can you just like lead us for any listeners who need prayer for the broken heart or for the ailing heart? Go for it.
Yeah, and in particular, I just have a sense that God wants to heal someone with an upper back injury. Like, there's something like in the middle back or the upper back, there's like some vertebrae that are out. It's just very, very sharp pain, and it was caused by an accident. That's just what I'm sensing right now. So if that is you, and you're driving or you're doing something, just maybe stop what you're doing and just receive from the Lord. And anyone else, just have faith that God is present, and allow his presence to overwhelm you in his love. So let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Come, Holy Spirit. You are Holy Father. You are goodness itself. You reveal yourself to us in your Son, Jesus, who suffered and died that we might have life. And through the face of your love that you revealed to us, we ask by the power of this love that you send your Spirit upon all those who are listening now, especially those who have pain in their back, pain in their body, anywhere, Lord. Anoint everyone right now for your glory, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, just bring restoration right now. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You are glorious. Lord, release healing over everyone listening. Pain, in the name of Jesus, we command you to go now. Lord, I ask that you just continue to release more love, more healing. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Lord, I ask that you bless, in particular way, throats and stomachs right now, that you bless them with your fire right now. We glorify you, Lord Jesus. We praise you. We praise you. Backs be healed now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Lord, this is, I have a sense the Lord is just saying that each of us is his little beloved, and he wants us to know his gaze upon us, know his infinite love toward us. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. And we thank you, Lord, for what you've done and what you're going to continue to do. And for those who are listening, you may feel like just a warmth or even just the presence of God in a peace. Just say, Lord, I want more.
More.
Lord, I want more. I want more of your love, more of your power. And just thank him. Thank him for what he's doing right now. And we ask all this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. In the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit. That was awesome. I lost track of time, Dan.
Can I testify to the Lord real quick? So literally, Father, when I was 16 years old, I got in a head-on collision with a cement barrier going about 75 miles per hour. And I've had terrible pain in my neck since. I've been to chiropractors for years, and I mean, my whole body right now is literally on fire. Like,
you're not going to believe this. As he prayed, I saw an image of a guy in a car accident, and I was wanting to call it out. It was like the left side of the neck was like really in pain.
I had pain. It, literally, when you said we should pray for someone for healing their pain, literally pain was in my neck and in my middle back, my upper middle back, and it's all, I swear it's
come
gone.
Come on.
I swear
give
it's
up.
Gone.
Jesus, praise we praise Jesus. You. We
praise
just thank you for
thank
that
you,
healing story. Thank you for Father Matthias for revealing what you want to do
Amen.
To him.
Amen.
For calling that out, Lord. And Lord, thank you for Amen. This new healing on Dan.
Yeah, and I would just encourage for anyone who's listening, for the glory of God, send Patrick or Dan an email of what God did in that time of prayer, which is we just believe that God is sovereign. He's already manifesting his love, and it'd just be good to glorify his name through that.
Father, give us your final blessing.
All right. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for the extraordinary love that you have poured out to us. We ask for an increase of faith, hope, and love that we might imitate Jesus, be fully alive, and proclaim the love that you have for us, a love so Amen. Undying that you would send your Son to be in the likeness of sin so that we might come alive. Give us an increase of boldness and courage to go where we haven't gone before so that we might bring as many people as possible to your wedding banquet, the wedding feast of the Lamb. And we ask us through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you
and
for
may
joining
God
us.
God bless you, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you for joining us on Encounter. On behalf of Dan and I, we pray that you have the grace to receive and respond to every divine encounter that God brings to you today. If you have a testimony of healing or you want to learn how you can share your encounter, please visit our website, encounterradio.org. That's encounterradio.org. Thanks so much, and
Amen.
God bless you.